This call is now being recorded.
Orale! This is the podcast, The Invisible Middle Ground, and I am Tech. Why do I do that?
Stop doing that! No. The one with the world-weary voice and 8 more years of just torment, that's Tech. If people can tell our voices apart.
Yes. Yes. Mine's still fresh and feels like, this world might have hope. Yes, I am Gun. I'm the one with the gun on my hip. And, Tech is the other one, the one in a spaceship flying around the country somewhere, abducting people.
Well, I live the movie Speed. If I ever drop below 55 miles an hour, my heart explodes.
That's why he's always in a car. He has to go 55 miles an hour. You know, I was so out of it when we talked the other day that I neglected to mention the perfect example of dealing with Baltimore partisan politics. And I really wish I had told this particular story, because it just perfectly embodies what happens next in everything we talked about in the Broken Bricks Baltimore episode of the podcast. What happened next, of course, it's the Republicans' fault. And why? Who is a Republican? How is there a Republican at fault when it's Baltimore? It's Baltimore,
yeah,
Maryland.
Maryland, I know from talking to you that, they got crazy gun rules that you've got to
do
the Fandango trying to drive in and out of there for your work.
Even with state police contracting, armed security contracting for state police to work in projects in Baltimore, I'm not allowed to carry a taser. And it's like, so you're going to let me, that's how screwy their laws are. I'm allowed to carry a gun, which can kill someone instantly, but I'm not allowed to carry a taser. You know why? Those can kill people.
Yeah.
So me, an armed contractor.
I got a Desert Eagle 45 on my hip that'll put a hole in someone the size of a dinner plate. But, let's not shock them.
Yes, exactly. And to clarify, for
what is going on? Are they just playing, or are they beating us?
Hey, play nice! All right, we got to keep an eye on this situation. Just a second.
Hey, okay. No kicking! Hey!
There we go. Okay. Oh, the joys of working around here. Occasionally, you have to yell at the kids and tell them not to kick each other in the head.
I always have a hard time reading a situation. I mean, I hear these stories about these Samaritans, rushing in and taking two flailing combatants and flinging them apart and saving somebody's life. I can never tell who is the aggressor, whenever I come into one of these. And I'm like, I guarantee you I'd be wrong. I'd take out, somebody would be like, why'd you take out the little Asian lady that was kicking that guy's butt for no reason?
Right. Yeah, it is hard to read situations, kids playing.
The first thing that jumped in my mind was that scene from Kung Fu Hustle where that little lady's kicking the crap out of everybody.
Yes, that was a wacky movie.
Yeah, I gotta finish that one of these days.
Oh, man. There are some real creepy scenes in it too. The bad guys are really bad in that.
That's something I need to mention on the podcast for if anybody's listening to me. I watch a lot of movies. I do not finish a lot of movies.
Yes. Tech likes to see the first three quarters of most films.
Yeah, and thankfully, you know, I complain about trailers ruining the ends of movies. I really shut up and just watch the trailers, so that way I know how every movie ends, you know, because, you know, unless I go to the theater, there's about a 90% chance I will not see the end of that film. And it's a combination of things. It's, you know, having two hyperactive kids, a dog, and a very demanding family life there that I just never get to finish a film. It took me 3 years to finish, Die Hard.
Sure. The original
Die Hard. When did RoboCop come out? Because there was a good 6 months in between me seeing the beginning of RoboCop and seeing the last 30 minutes.
Oh, the remake?
Yeah, the remake.
Oh, man. The remake was like the technology that they had in it was so cool, but like the storyline was just unfollowable because like I couldn't tell like who's bad, who's the bad guy, you know, like the music's supposed to be telling you that, and it's just the music's not doing its job, the director's not doing his job, and it's just like
Batman, the one true Batman was the bad guy.
Yes, Keaton was the bad guy. Now let's talk here about Baltimore. I wanted to say yes, when they started to blame the Republicans for you know all those Republicans that run Baltimore for having neglected it. It just reminded me of a conversation that I had with a coworker as we were driving through West Baltimore from one contracted location to another one, And as we start to patrol our contracted areas, I'm sort of asking him like, sort of quizzing him to see how aware he is of the political situation. And surprisingly, he's spot on, you know, describing how the government, the big government in Maryland, had chased away jobs, chased away opportunity, neglected education. And he's just listing all these things in this real, you know, they chased away the jobs and, you know, he's got this very, very, you know, indignant tone. And then he ends his list with Republicans don't care about the black man. And I had to stop him and I go, okay, now you see everything you said was right and made perfect sense except for the last thing. There are no Republicans here. He's like, yeah, there are. I'm like, no, there are no Republicans running Baltimore. Baltimore, at the time, there wasn't even a Republican governor. At the time, it was Martin O'Malley was the governor of the state, dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. This is Baltimore, Maryland, was a, you know, stronghold, Democrat stronghold for decades. And so only failure that could be counted is a Democrat failure. And, you know, and when I hear the pastor from Baltimore say on MSNBC that, you know, they're not going to let this anger go to waste. They're going to community organize and they're going to do voter registration drives all across the city. And I'm thinking, oh, they must be registering for people to vote for the Republicans because clearly this can only be a Democrat failure. But the way brainwashing works is if you're brainwashed to see someone as good, you will always see that person as good. And the brainwashing that is done in Baltimore and in those communities is Democrats good, Republicans bad. And, you know, as an independent, and anyone else with an independent mindset, or even just not a bipartisan mindset, you know, you need to help explain that to people to break that mindset that people have of, I am this party, it is good, the other party is bad, everything. And even when there are no Republicans around, you can somehow blame Republicans for bad things and only give credit to Democrats for good things. It doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, and just out patrolling today. Me and my partner were talking about that all across the country. Ferguson, Missouri, all Democrats. It is a Democrat community outside of St. Louis, which is a Democrat city. The governor of Missouri, where St. Louis and Ferguson are, is a Democrat. So, you know, once again, how can you blame the Republicans for this? New York is the biggest one that there is no blaming a Republican for what happened in New York to Eric Garner. Not only is New York State the bluest of blue states, but New York City is the bluest of blue cities, and we went from Bloomberg, a dyed-in-the-wool, big government liberal, to de Blasio, a described communist or socialist, you know. Somehow they went from Bloomberg to an even bigger government liberal Democrat. And the reason why he was even talked to was not an issue that is a mainstay of Republicans, such as a violent crime. You know, Republicans are really strong on violent crime. Republicans are strong on vice. You know, so if the guy was selling drugs, the reason why the cops approached Eric Garner in New York was a Democrat issue of big government licensing of businesses. He was doing business without proper licensing. Therefore, yep. He was evading taxes. So it was a Democrat city, Democrat state, Democrat issue that led to Eric Garner's death. And then, you know, Baltimore, Maryland is I'm going to say as wacky as and as anti, you know, personal freedoms as New York. And, you know, I'm sure someone from New York would disagree with me, but, you know, as somebody who's lived and worked in the area, you know, I've somebody who's had, you know, Maryland cops going through their house on a couple occasions because of something my upstairs neighbors did. You know, I know that Maryland is a wacky big government place with crazy gun control laws and crazy infringing on people's rights. And so
don't forget taxing the yin yang out of you.
Oh yeah. Oh boy. Yeah.
I think
Maryland
I
can talk
you off the ledge, you know, when you're doing your taxes there.
Yes, yes. Thankfully H&R Block was also what kept me from jumping. Because
jumping and/or shooting from the ledge.
Now, I would only use a weapon properly. I am a proud, true, liberal rights gun owner. I follow the rules. But yes, I was very angry, and I was very angry, and I didn't have enough violent video games to help me get it all out of my system. So I called Tech and blew out one of his eardrums.
Yeah, you were definitely full on rage mode at that point. See, I think that's what keeps me calm is my ability to, you know, play like Assassin's Creed and kill half of Europe. You know, it keeps me calm and not wanting to kill real people.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, thanks to the Assassin's Creed games, I've killed more of Europe than the Black Plague did. Hold on, you went quiet there for a second.
Yeah, I did tell my partner that joke. That was pretty fun.
Oh, thank you, Derek.
So, this is one of those things we need to get people out of the. And what this is identity politics. If you look up the term identity politics, it is the most heinous, sexist, racist bullcrap ever. I am a woman, therefore I have to be a Democrat. And if I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a real woman. I'm not a real feminist. I'm a traitor to my own sex. I'm a traitor to my own gender. If I'm a woman and I'm not a Democrat, I was, you know, my go ahead.
In debate terms, that's the no true Scotsman fallacy.
No true Scotsman.
So the thing is, you know, no true Scotsman would wear underwear beneath his kilt. And you got a guy named, you know, Angus McKay, and he's got an underwear on under his kilt, and he goes, I'm a true Scotsman, and I've got underwear on under my kilt. You know, it's, you know, but the argument is no true Scotsman, you know. So some other guy goes, yeah, well, I don't. And so you're no true Scotsman. You know, it's the defining somebody, you know, incorrectly by the group they're supposedly in. And, you know, truthfully, people are not, people shouldn't be, you know, so narrowly defined. You know.
Yeah.
There's groups that you should be able to be, you know, roped in, but, you know, you should be allowed to leave those groups at any point, you know.
Right. Well, I was so infuriated last year when the news was focusing on, you know, and of course there's always a Clinton scandal that they could be focusing on. There's always a Clinton scandal. Either something that's unresolved or something that's you know, still out there. There's always a Holder scandal. Eric Holder, he's done so much completely just shady crap that the news will gladly ignore. Lois Lerner, that's a name that is from the biggest scandal, the biggest political scandal of my lifetime, where the government actually used the FBI to mess with people who didn't support the president, which is not something that I ever thought would happen in my country. They did it through their hit woman, Lois Lerner. Lois Lerner was the director of the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, who actually basically put hits out on groups that were trying to community organize, which is what Democrats, which is what I did as a Democrat lobbyist. I community organized, you know, setting up events at colleges, to talk about green energy initiatives. Well, groups trying to do the same thing that I as a Democrat did, but instead as Republicans, were targeted by the IRS to not only be audited by the IRS, but be audited by the FBI as potential terrorist groups. Yeah, and that story doesn't get noted. Instead, while that story was at its peak and they were dragging Lois Lerner back and forth to the Capitol Hill, instead of following that story and actually showing that story, which is ridiculous, as a Democrat at the time, I was infuriated at the thought of, you know, a Democrat, you know, somebody with the same – just – refusing to let somebody else not only speak, but speak at the same volume that you're speaking. You know, we're just going to go ahead and shut them up in their homes. Like, that's so wrong. That means that your argument cannot stand criticism. Your argument cannot hold up if you cannot let the other side be heard and you are scared of the other side to that extent, you are wrong. And yeah, Lois Lerner and the entire Democrat Party, when they were encouraging, and that was from the executive branch down, that was encouraging Lois Lerner's actions in targeting and disenfranchising conservative Tea Party activists. So that being said, while that was really going on, the news focused on a Republican congressman who spoke at an event sponsored by a group founded by David Duke. Did you follow all that?
Oh, yeah. So David Duke, who is, you know, former Grand Wizard of the KKK and Democrat.
Yeah, yeah, okay, well, you know, that's the part that they don't mention.
That's the part they don't mention. They just mentioned, hey, this Republican went and he was at this this event that that was, you know, funded by this group that's the that was founded by David Duke, and he was in the neo-Nazis and the Ku Klux Klan. The neo-Nazis and the Ku Klux Klan, this Republican was there. And it's like, this is a Democrat-founded group. Also, just to mention, I obviously would not be allowed to even enter that group, probably, but I would like to mention that it wasn't the neo-Nazis or the Ku Klux Klan. It was a adult professionals group. It was not either of the hate groups associated with David Duke. Also, David Duke founded the group as a Democrat. And I would also like to add, it would be kind of like me, as a fat guy, making a buffet, and then whenever a skinny person comes to the buffet, I take pictures of them and go, look at this fat person.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, look at this. Oh, wait, are you Perez Hilton now?
All right. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and jump. Oh, okay. Oh, never mind. Okay.
Thought we were on the move for a second there.
Okay. I just safely made it through the low to no signal area, so. Google Voice held up and not, I'm going to say this carefully so it doesn't hear my voice and do it, but did not terminate the encoding of the data for us.
Exactly.
Four times like it did the one time.
Right. Well, I will just say for the record, I am patrolling tonight, at the moment in Maryland, but I'm nowhere near Baltimore. I'm within an hour of Baltimore, but I'm in the DC suburbs. A lot of people who don't live out here don't know how close Baltimore is to DC, but the mass consensus of people, that I've talked to from DC about Baltimore is, man, that's stupid.
Well, interestingly, our local, we had a local, sheriff, close up towards DC. He was of the mind, there's a snake in the middle of the road. He was of the mind, there was a lot of gangs that basically waited for the protests, you know, the legitimate, like, stop freaking killing people in your custody protest to occur. And, you know, gangs organized the whole shenanigans on the side, with the looting and all that. And
yeah,
they said that, he was watching. And the danger is, protests are fundamental to our country. I mean, everybody knows the Boston Tea Party. There was other protests all over the place, in New York. And interestingly, when we seceded, when we left Britain, truthfully, the revolution, our Revolutionary War was, from at the time would have been considered a civil war, which is kind of an interesting, if you think about it from that perspective. But, there were cogent arguments on both sides. And, history books, we like to paint it to my kids. My kids are under the impression that everybody was like, yeah, let's get the heck out from underneath this rule. But truthfully, it was almost a 50-50 split with loyalists and the colonists until the occupation by the British started getting just so onerous. And, that some shady stuff, rapes and pillaging and all kinds of terrible things started happening, that really started to sway the public opinion. But, being able to protest in this country is key, and it is effective, you know, to be heard. You know, that's why you want a clear, cogent, three-point, bullet-point message to your protest. You know, not like the protest that were in Seattle, which was basically, corporations are bad. I'm telling you this while wearing Nike, Reebok, and Adidas wear. You know,
yeah.
All corporations are evil. You know, there was no, like, all right, here's how we fix this. And, you know, and even the, you and I have both railed against the Occupy movement, which basically just became a protest about, you know, where do we set the slider on protest? Because at some point, it just becomes a tent community of homeless people, you know.
Yeah.
But they actually, they ended up having some good come out of it where they collected up money, paid off some people's college debts, which,
right.
You know,
well, there were some
world problems.
Yeah, there were some people who you know, did tackle their first world problems out of that. But, man, there were so many people that, like, whenever they were like, oh, we don't have any Occupy protest that said, we don't have a centralized leadership, well, then, they, you know, some dude with a megaphone would, you know, go on a rant about how Jews are evil.
Yeah.
So, like, any place where they said, we don't have leadership, it turned into a place where anti-Semitic, you know, the one dude's going on and on about, you know, just crazy conspiracy theories and all this. And it's like, okay, Occupy sanity.
Well, hey, or like the local Tea Party here. You know, we are taxed enough already. And then they were holding signs, you know, that saying, you know, about marriage equality. And, you know, not. It's like, okay, all right, hold on. The whole point of your movement is supposed to be no taxes. So, you know, if you're going to start policing, you know, who's gay, who's not gay, you're increasing the size of the government to, yeah.
Yeah. That was my aggravation with, what's his name? Oh, I'm just standing out that. Okay. That was my aggravation with Huckabee. Oh, Huckabee, yes, I'm all about being conservative and all about conservative principles and blah, blah, blah. And then anything that was a religious-y thing. It was always, all right, the government needs to step in on this one. It's like, no, you don't want the government speaking for your religion, Ayatollah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's the thing that people just never seem to understand. Unless you are Roman Catholic, which is, you know, the largest, you know, circle on that diagram, then you should be really vehemently against breaking down the separation of church and state. So, you know, I was debating a friend of ours that's virulently anti-Catholic, and I said, oh, you're right, we should start tithing to the Roman Church, because there are more Catholics, you know, more Roman Catholics in this country, and it's a growing population. Oh, man, he turns red. No, they're evil! Like, okay, so which particular church do we let take control of the government there, you know?
Yeah, that was my part of my rant on Monday. One of my moments of lucidity was about the fact that being liberal doesn't mean giving up your rights to conservatives. Hey, what's up?
I love your new work.
I had a guy yelling at me from a quarter mile away. I'm thinking, he's putting both his hands up, and I'm like, I recognize who it was. He was just messing with me.
You pear-shaped white guys look the same.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's,
You're fully allowed to call me an a-hole for calling you that.
Yes, yes, definitely. You are, you know you're an a-hole. I don't have to tell you.
That's what I say in the mirror every morning, comb my hair, look in the mirror, go, look at this a-hole.
That's what, my wife told me the other day. She goes, you know, you're handsome, right? And I said, I do sometimes, like when I'm looking at the mirror and I see myself from a certain angle and I go, wow, I look good. And then I try to take a selfie and it just, like, nothing's shaped right in the selfie.
I've done it. Java stole my phone again.
I know. It's like this doesn't work.
Let's see. I've got the skin tone of Deepa Marshmallow Man. All right, I've got to wrap it up.
I have the skin tone of Stay Puft Marshmallow Man as he's being blown up. Any no? What's that? Only Jewel? What? Hello? Did I lose you?
I lost him.
Oh no! I hope this is recorded. All right. Well, this is. Gun. Are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I was trying to pick up my wife's call, but it sent her to voicemail instead.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's weird. Oh, it's yeah, her so to voicemail. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, so she'll be nice and pissed about that.
Yes. hey, try to get this to us quick so my wife can toss it online.
Okay.
And
all right. I will do that.
Fight partisan politics. Be independent. This is Gun Sully saying, everybody calm the hell down.
And this is Tech Sully saying, hey, record everything that happens because, you know, worst case scenario, you got something to sell to the televisions. Best case scenario, you record you and your friends out having fun.
Exactly. Vine it. Do it for the vine.
Do it for the vine, right. All right, bye-bye. All right.